With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start tonight. Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him." Guys, this is the last message that we're going to teach in this series on seeing and doing regarding faith, and we're going to slip over into righteousness right after the holidays. Hebrews 11:6, because you need to understand the righteousness that you were born again into.
Amen.
Come on. Before you can really stand in faith. If you have guilt, shame, feelings of not being good enough because of the past, then we need to give you a fresh breath of the wisdom and revelation so you can understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Mm-hmm. And the more that you see that, the more your conduct begins to change to act like the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. None of us are perfect. We're on our way. We all fail, but God sees us as righteous, and we're going to talk about that during the month of January. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must have faith. And a faith is described right here as not just believing that God exists, but that God rewards those who seek Him. That God hears your voice when you pray. That's part of faith. And that God, His answer isn't no, but in Christ Jesus, what is His answer when you ask regarding the promises of God? It's yes and amen. And that amen means let it be so, let it be established in my life. So the answer is yes and amen. When we ask the Lord, if you think that He's not hearing you, we have to talk about the position that you're praying from. But faith is a matter of knowing that God is good, that He's not withholding from you. The Word of God says He's a liberal giver. He gives without, in the King James it says, abradeth not. He gives without finding fault. He doesn't put you like through a sifter to find out if He could give you what you want, because He qualified you. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and without it, you cannot please God. Come on. Without it, you can't please Him. And if you ask and you're not asking in faith, then what does it say in the book of James? If you ask and you have doubt in your heart, is what it says, then what should you expect to receive from God? No. Nothing. And why is that? Because if you're not asking in faith, He doesn't hear you. If He hears you, you know the answer is yes. Because He's a liberal giver and He loves you and He has qualified you. The glory of the latter house shall exceed the glory of the former house. And listen, we know that's particularly talking about the temple, but do you realize that Adam had God living in him? And you have been born of God, and you have God living in you. Adam's answer to his prayers, or the things that he petitioned, or the things that he, let's say, prophesied, that he spoke over his life, were based on his conduct. Your answer to your prayers are based on the conduct of Jesus. If there's no guilt inside of you, come on. God's not pulling away from you. You know what? I was reminded 18 years ago, maybe 17 years ago, I was sitting there reading my Bible, had a dip of chew in my lip, and I was smoking a cigarette. I'm not that same person today, but God loved me just as much then. See, I was working through a process of becoming righteous. But God saw me with as much favor then as He sees me now. Come on. I could sit there and think that God's not hearing my prayers because I'm not living right, or I used to smoke. 18 years ago. I used to chew 17 years ago. I used to hang out with those that did. Do. Come on. And that could affect my prayer life today, but the past is gone. Jesus eradicated my sins. He eradicated your sins. He removed them as far as the east is from the west. And He chooses to remember them no longer. What did the psalmist David say? He said, blessed is the man who what? Whose sins God does not account for. God's not counting up your sins anymore. Praise. That didn't give you a license to live any old way, but it gives you a license to live under righteousness. Yeah. All right. Faith is not natural. Faith is not in your mind. Discipline or your will is in your mind. Come on. You have a certain amount of willpower. You have a certain amount of discipline. And you can increase that. You can grow that. But that exists in your soul, not in your heart, in your spirit. You are a spirit who should be using your mind to control your body. Amen? You should be thinking out of your spirit instead of your unrenewed mind. And then when you have time, you should be renewing or transforming your mind, taking every thought captive according to Christ or the anointing that's in you. Because He'll lead you, He'll guide you, He will show you, He will teach you all things, come on, pertaining to your personal life. He's going to show you the steps that you should take. See, and if your faith has only been in your mind, well, praise the Lord, you've been disciplined, but you're not living in victory yet. Discipline, or the will that's in your willpower that you have in your soul, and you can develop that, whether it's not to buy everything that's on sale, whether it's not to fill your house with junk, whatever it is that you're developing, whether it's to exercise, whether it's to diet, whatever you're developing your willpower in, you realize that can increase. And then you'll reach a point where suddenly you don't have to use your will anymore on that because you've arrived. You've gotten to a place that you see it, you own it. Come on. At first you had, but now it's not even part of you any longer. So your will is put inside of you as a tool to get to the place of victory. But it is not the only way to get there. It is a way to get there. Come on. See, we're not to live according to our will. We're not to live according to our discipline. We're to live according to the Spirit of God. And it says He would take out your stony heart, give you a heart of flesh. And that spirit, that new spirit He would put in you would compel you to do right. Right? Would compel you to follow His ways. And if you're led by the Spirit now, you don't have to use your will. And you could use your will on areas that you're gray about. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We want to turn there. Faith is not natural. Faith is not a product of your mind. We want to establish that. It's a product of your born-again spirit. The man without the Spirit of God cannot have spiritual faith. He can have a natural kind of faith, just a believer. Well, I believe it because my daddy said so. I believe it because my grandpa did it. I believe it because we've been doing it this way in the Linhart family for generations. Well, that is a type of faith, a natural faith, but it's not a spiritual faith. So that kind of natural faith will not move God. Spiritual faith moves God. Let me give you an example. Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do men say I am?" And there was all kind of answers. But Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That moved Jesus. And He said upon that revelation, He would build the church. And He said, "You're blessed because man did not reveal this to you, but it was revealed to you by the Spirit of God. It was revealed to him by heaven." Now that's what faith is based on. Revelation. Now you can provoke faith by putting the Word inside of you. Come on. Just like you can provoke a harvest of tomatoes by putting tomato seeds in egg cartons in the winter. And then once they pop up, then you put them in the ground when they're healthy and they can stand on their own. See, you can provoke faith through the Word. You can provoke faith through confessing and muttering the Word. And once it gets down into your spirit, it'll produce a light of revelation. And now you'll see what always has been. It's just now revealed. The darkness has been removed by the light, and you can see what's there. And it's already yours. How can you say that? Because everything that God is going to do for you, He's already done. So we catch up to God. He doesn't catch up to us. And if you've been born again, then you've received the mind of Christ and you have the thoughts of God inside of you. And when they're revealed, well, now you've experienced it. Everybody say experience.
Experience.
Okay. It's like this. Adam saw Eve, but he didn't know her until he got it on with her. Then he knew her experientially. That's what the Bible says. And they conceived a son. So that knowing is not just, wow, I see her, I like her. It's intimate. It's something that you experience. And once you experience God's revelation, nobody can take it from you. You may have a hard time putting it into English. That takes discipline. That takes discipline. It does. Because the best thing you can do with revelation is put it into English words if you're an English speaker, if you speak English. Why? So that you can edify somebody else with the revelation. That's why so many times when I'm preaching, whether I'm in the nations or I'm preaching here in the United States, that somebody will come up to me and they'll say, you know, I've always known that, but I just never could put it into words. You have to work that through. You get the revelation in here, and if you could put the thing into words, now guess what? You can activate your faith. All right. Faith is spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 9. Are you there?
Yeah.
However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind, I like the way the NIV reads that, human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared, that's past tense, for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. So many people just leave it at that. You can't know what God has done for you. Yes, you can if you've got His Spirit. Verse 10, second part. The Spirit, capital S, searches all things, even the deep things of God. Why did I say capital S? Because if it's a small s in your Bible, it means your human spirit or a simple spirit, like a spirit of a dog, which is not the same as a spirit of a man. But the small s is you. The big S means it's the Lord God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And what the Spirit searches is the deep things of God. Now, is God withholding wisdom from you? No. The Bible says if you don't have wisdom, then you're to ask and He'll give it to you liberally. Where is the gift going to come? Where is the revelation going to come? It's not going to come in your mind. It's not going to come through your flesh. It's going to come through your spirit. You know, I was filling out an application for something today, and it asked the age, and it was natural. I just put eternal. Because I am an eternal being. I put my birthday down, then it asked age, and I thought, well, I'm eternal. Because I really have to think about how old I am. I have to subtract. And now that we turned into the 2000s, I don't get it. Is he quickly? Come on. I quit keeping track when I turned 30 last year. Praise the Lord. But we're eternal beings. We're spiritual beings. We have a body and we have a mind. And when you leave this body, you no longer have authority on this earth. And your soul and your spirit get to go to heaven if you're one with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You'll have memories. I believe that only the renewed parts of your mind are going to be there. I really do. So I think there are going to be some real happy idiots in heaven because they didn't spend any time renewing their mind. They don't remember nothing. Just happy. Well, they'll be happy. There'll be no sorrow. But if they don't renew their mind, if they don't think in line with the kingdom, why would God let that in? Anyway, praise the Lord. So faith is spiritual, and you have the Spirit of God if you've been born again. Verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit? That is a small s. Except their own spirit within them. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the capital S, Spirit of God. What we have received is not the small spirit of the world, but the big spirit who is from God. You know, I'm putting the big in there, right? Okay. The Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Okay, check this out. Where are you going to understand that? Not in your head. I remember when I was down at Bible school. I mean, the anointing was... It was sitting right next to people, didn't get a thing. The anointing was so strong for me that I wanted to stop. Here's what it seemed like to me. Like I was swallowing great big bubbles of revelation. Like bubbles, because I mean, it just come in chunks, and I could almost feel it going down in my spirit. And you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to stop while the speaker was speaking, but see, it was the anointing, and I wanted to just put him on pause, and I wanted to pop every single bubble so I could see what was on the inside. And I remember the Holy Ghost, in a way that I knew back then, just said, don't do that. So I'd just sit there, and I'd get drunk. I mean, I'd get drunk in the Holy Ghost while somebody was teaching. And I'd walk out of there. I remember I'd meet Pastor Nija to give her a ride back home, because we weren't married yet, and I'd meet her, and she was like la di da di da, and I was like drunk as a skunk, and she wanted to talk about all natural things, and I was in revelation land, you know. And what I find is when I preach and when I teach, there's still times that those bubbles are getting popped. It's a spiritual thing down in your spirit. You get the understanding down here. And when you can communicate it, you can edify somebody else, or you could cause it to come to pass in your... Am I helping anybody? Yeah. I'd say open the mouth of your spirit real wide. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Boy, I like that. The person without, that's a capital S. The person without the Spirit does not understand the things from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. See, faith is spiritual. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, hearing the good news of the gospel. It comes in through your ear, but when it hits the soil of your spirit, it's the incorruptible seed that hits the soil of your spirit, and it is going to produce life if you'll just let it germinate. And if you'll just let the thing grow, it'll produce revelation. And when you get that revelation, then you treasure the thing, and you begin to make room for it in your thinking. Your thoughts are to be conformed by the Spirit. They're to be governed by your faith. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1. Remember, God is using the Apostle Paul in writing both of these letters as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. He is giving revelation to the church, that we still get revelation today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Speaking about the exact same process that we just read in 1 Corinthians. Always connect these two. I keep asking, this is verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the, capital S, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. We just read, so you may know better the things that He has prepared for us. And then he goes on, he describes it. I pray that the eyes of your head, the eyes in your underneath your eyebrows, the eyes in your forehead, no, the eyes of your heart be enlightened. See, these guys are born again, so they've got the Spirit. And this is one of the first scriptures that I researched when I was down in Tulsa. I mean, I dug into it. It literally means, if you go into the Greek, to receive a fresh breath of the Spirit of God. Because you're not going to get a different spirit. There's only one Spirit of God. There's seven spirits in the churches, but there's only one Spirit of God. Yeah. And you receive that Spirit. And so what are you getting? You're getting a fresh breath of His Spirit, so that the eyes of your heart may open up, be enlightened, that you could know what? I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and the incomparable great power for us who believe. The things that He's already prepared. And when you go into Ephesians 2, it starts talking about your life becoming a display of God's goodness for generations to see, nations to see. So faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith is not something that exists in your head. Come on. But what you think can infect or pollute your spirit. your human spirit. Well, you let that get below your heart, you're going to be in trouble. You know, Satan uses fear. He uses hurt. He uses offense. He uses those things to get in and pollute your spirit. And when your human spirit is polluted, it's very difficult to hear the voice of God. It's very difficult to see the light of God. Come on. Faith doesn't live in the past. Faith doesn't live in the future. Faith lives victoriously in the present. Faith is spiritual. It exists, it comes out of your spirit. And as you allow your faith to dominate every part of who you are, now you're going to be able to walk in the kingdom of God as He has ordained or He has pre-established for you. He's set aside for you. He's put it on layaway for you. You got to claim the thing. There are Christians that will never walk in the goodness of God. They won't allow themselves to believe that they're good enough. They won't step out and take it out of what they call the sovereign side of God and take authority in their own lives in Christ Jesus. And that's a shame. When they get to heaven, they're going to see everything that God had prepared for them. Unused, unopened. Praise the Lord. So your faith, led by the Spirit of God, should tell your mind what to think and your body what to do. Faith, led by the Spirit of God, should tell your mind what to think and your body what to do. Once you get that alignment right, man, faith becomes a fruit of your spiritual tree. It becomes a fruit of you being the branch which attached to the vine, to Jesus. And you will produce the kingdom of God in your life. Remember, it's not the out of the abundance of the what? The heart, the mouth speaks. If you're speaking out of your disciplined head all the time, you're not going to receive the benefits of God because faith is here. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Now, faith can grow, just like discipline. Faith can be increased. You're all given a measure of faith when you're born again, and then it's up to you what you do with it. You're all given a measure of faith once you've been born again. It's up to you what you do with it. Jesus spoke to His disciples just as plainly as could be. He said, "Oh, you of little faith. Why don't you have faith up to this point? If you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could..." Come on, that's what He said. You should have some by now. Now, He breathed on them in John chapter 20, and they received the Holy Ghost, but He gave them authority before that they could walk in faith in that authority. When He gave them authority, He gave them anointing. When you were born of God, He gave you His anointing. You have His faith in seed form. Now you could grow that thing, you can exercise that thing, and you will be held accountable for what you do with your faith. You're going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Are you going to hear that? Or are you just going to slide by and not recreate the kingdom of heaven here on the earth? Or at least in your family. Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." One Bible guy, Brother Hagin, used to say, it says, "Have the God kind of faith." And it can be translated that way. He's speaking to His disciples. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their head..." Is that what He said?
No.
What did He say? Heart. "Does not doubt in your heart." That's important. "But believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." So where is this belief happening? In your head or in your heart? In your body or in the spiritual part of who you are? The spiritual part. Now remember, the heart, in many times in the Scripture, is speaking of the whole inner man. And so the heart is a mixing place. Let's put it this way. It is a mixing place where your soul and your spirit connect. That's why you could have bad water and fresh water. That's why, you know, sometimes you say things that aren't in line with God, because if your heart were just your human spirit full of the Spirit of God, you would say everything perfectly. Now, Jesus was that way. And he said, it's not me doing the work, but it's the Father in me doing the work. I only say what I hear the Father say. Not hear. I only do what I see the Father do. The eyes of his heart. He saw it in the eyes of his heart. Now, if you renewed your mind, transform it with a washing of the Word, and you take your thoughts captive according to the anointing, listen, by the Spirit within you, if you live a life that way, you could live that way as well. Jesus said you could do greater works unless you have a sin nature in you. Unless you've been fatally flawed and God forgot to remove the sin nature from you. Come on. Maybe you're just the only one that he didn't take your sin and throw it as far as the east is from the west. Maybe he didn't change your compass. See, if he didn't do those things, you're not born again. That doesn't mean you're living perfectly yet. But something on the inside, every time you go south, every time you sin, something on the inside should be fighting you. And you know it is. Now you yield to that. And you begin to step over into the second kind of righteousness, which is the righteousness that we live. Jesus said, if you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe, if you believe in your heart, how does that come? It means you've got to yield to the Holy Ghost. You got to spend time with the Holy Ghost. If you just spent time praying in the Holy Spirit and provoking the Spirit of God in you, show me some of the great things that can be done in my life. Show me what it would look like if I laid my hands on a blind person and they saw, and you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You can literally develop your human spirit. You can literally develop, like a muscle, your human spirit. You can fill your heart with belief. You don't want to fill your heart with belief when you're being attacked. You need your heart full when you are attacked. See, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you should be preparing for tomorrow and getting tomorrow ready for you. Instead of waking up and seeing what's going to happen, you should have a knower on the inside. All right. Guys, he says in verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe where? In your head? Heart. It's time that the church stops condemning itself for thinking, maybe it won't happen. It's not the type of faith God... The more you walk with God, the more you'll trust your spirit. If you're born again. The more that you walk with God, the more that you yield to the Spirit, the more you'll trust your spirit. Doubts can come and doubts can go. They can be provoked, like Jairus. He had a daughter who was dying, and he came to Jesus, and then everybody came and said, your daughter's dead, don't bother me anymore. Yeah. See, he didn't have doubt, Jairus. He didn't have doubt. But somebody came and provoked doubt. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't meditate on that. See, because if you do, you know what? You're going to say something and give it birth. Listen, fear won't produce anything in your life until you say something. But you think on fear long enough, it will produce a word or two. How many of you know the worst fights you've ever gotten in with your spouse or your brother or your sister or your mother are ones that you already had in your head? You got ready for it. You practiced it. You rehearsed it. And then when it came out all blah. Because you were ready. You practiced. But you know, you got to practice your mind the same way. But you yield it to the Holy Ghost to live in faith? You know, if this happens to me, this is what I'm going to say. If this happens to me, this is what the Holy Spirit would have me do. If you practice being angry and you practice a fight, if you practice frustration, come on, practice the fruit of the Spirit. Before you do that, you don't practice sword fighting or jousting when you're out there on the horse or you're in the battlefield. Well, the practice comes when nobody's looking and nobody's watching. The best practice is in prayer. And you say, Lord, I need to work on this area. And you pray in the Holy Ghost. You say, Lord, show me. You provoke Him. Show me. He's not withholding it from you. He's not trying to say, you know, listen, you're always going to need me, so I don't want you to know. He's not that kind of a God. He wants you to stand up as a fully mature son of God and exercise the authority that's in the kingdom that has been given to you and to me. Amen. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you received it, and it will be yours. The belief is not in your head, it's in your heart. Now, the belief that's in your heart will eventually kick the doubt out of your head. Here's what I really believe. I believe too many people in the body of Christ live according to their head. You know why we get more miracles overseas? That's one of the things Bill Winston and I were talking about yesterday. One of the reasons why we get more miracles overseas, because they haven't ascended to mental discipline. They haven't ascended to the place that their thoughts, whether they're from God or not, come on, are the king of their life. Education is wonderful, and we should all have an education. But with education without the Holy Ghost, without the Bible, you just take this stuff and wad it up and throw it away. That's what I tell my kids in public school. And they teach you something that's not in line with the Holy Ghost. You just learn enough to pass the test, but you know you don't put it in your memory banks. We got too many Christians living according to their body. Those are carnal Christians. We have too many Christians living according to their thinker. Those are soulish Christians. We're supposed to have spiritual Christians. So we better figure out how to be led by the Holy Ghost, don't you think? Somebody's got to tell us how to be led by the Holy Ghost. You know when you are in unity with the Holy Ghost because you have peace in your heart. His Spirit testifies with your spirit. You're a son of God. Everything's good. But when you go contrary to what you know the Word says or what the Spirit's telling you, what do you have? You've got something on the inside. I think of it just like a cat inside of a bag trying to get out. And then what do? We shut it up even tighter because we want to do what we want to do. Well, when you do that, you're affecting your faith. You can't listen to God only when you want to listen to God. Praise the Lord. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Praise the Lord. We are all being transformed. We're all being changed. We're at different levels in this thing. But God sees you as perfected. But where's the reward? I'll tell you where the reward is. You get to walk in righteousness. As you listen, if He already sees you as perfect, then why do I want to go through all this torment in transforming my mind and telling my body what to do according to the Word and my Spirit? Why? Because when you walk as a son of God, you get your inheritance. And demons can't torment you. They can't keep you up at night. You'll begin to recognize, well, that's not even a temptation that I created. That came from the outside. And it becomes foreign to you. Does that make sense? Mark chapter 9. So faith is spiritual. Faith is supposed to dominate your thinker, your tongue, your body. It's supposed to fill your heart. When you're confessing something that you don't have revelation, what are you doing? You're trying to provoke revelation to fill your heart. You're not causing it to come to pass when you don't believe. What you're doing is provoking, putting the seed down inside of your spirit because it gets there from hearing. It gets there from hearing. And when you hear yourself say it, you're provoking the seed that you received in the gospel, and you're fertilizing it. You're watering it. You're bringing revelation. Once you have the revelation, if you'll begin to be governed by it, that's the best way I could say it, it'll fill your heart. And then you know that you know that you know because you've experienced it. And when you say it, anything that could keep it from coming to pass in your life, like this campus being finished in the next 12 months, this, that, the filling station. Once you know by revelation, there's nobody that can take it away from you because you experienced it. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 9, Jesus is walking up to his disciples. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit, that's a small s, that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Now, please remember when you're reading this that this is an absolutely true account. But these disciples had delegated authority. Do you know what I mean by delegated authority? They had the right to act in the place of Jesus because Jesus told them, cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach the gospel. So they had delegated authority. And delegated authority is not what you have. You have something better. You have the authority of a son of God. They had to operate in this authority based on their thinker and a mantle that came upon them. You operate in your authority based on revelation and the word, and it comes up out of you. Do you understand? It'd be like somebody putting a whistle and a cop hat on you and a white glove, and you could stop traffic. Or even the guys, the ushers, when they go out, they put on the orange vest and they have those little stop signs. Well, now they've got some kind of authority, and they put their stop sign up, and people stop. That's delegated authority. But if you have the ability to just put your hand up and cause that person to step on their brakes without them wanting to, now that's true authority. Because it's backed with power. In the kingdom of God is not a matter of delegation. The kingdom of God is a matter of power.
Praise the Lord.
So the disciples are going through something that they require more discipline than you do. You can get revelation. Do you know when they got revelation? When Jesus breathed on them after the resurrection. That's when they got revelation. Because he opened up their mind and they can understand the scriptures. How did he do that? By the power of the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. They received the Holy Ghost. The eyes of their heart was enlightened. Now their spirit could get everything in line in their head so they can understand. So they were operating without spiritual understanding. Everybody got that? All right. Because I don't want you to put them in your covenant because they're not there yet. Verse 19. Jesus said, you unbelieving generation, you unbelieving people, how long shall I stay with you? He just cut them straight, didn't he? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the Spirit saw Jesus, guys, you know, this stuff is real. I can't tell you how many times overseas and even here in the United States. In fact, just a month ago, we were dealing with a guy who was demon-possessed. And I like to turn away from them because the Spirit hears whether they see or hear or not. I remember one time in Honduras, I was ministering and the demon-possessed guy came in. Came into service, disrupted the whole thing. Didn't speak a word of English. And he was creating a disturbance, and I said some things in tongues, and he started walking away, and I just whispered, I said, in the name of Jesus, you stop and turn around. Whew. The Spirit heard him, heard me. Stopped, and he turned around. One time when Pastor Neej and I were in Panama, we were up in the mountains and we were ministering to a bunch of people who were in a drug rehab program, and they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was laying hands on them and they were falling over and they were shaking and they were speaking in tongues. And I remember my spirit sensed something behind me was wrong. And I turned around and there's this guy in a crucifix kind of format, about 3 feet off the ground, floating in midair. Pastor Neej is there with a video camera, her mouth wide open, and I'm thinking, you need to be filming this. But something on the inside of me, because I wasn't looking at him, I knew in my spirit something was manifesting back there. It wasn't noisy, but he had foam coming out of his mouth, his eyeballs were going like this. And I just went over and I slapped him and I said, leave in the name of Jesus. And down he went, and he got delivered. Spirits hear. And you can talk to a person when they're spirit possessed, when they're possessed by a demon, and that's not who you want to talk to. You don't want to reason. You want to talk directly to the spirit. And sometimes there's multiple spirits. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. The one that's usually hiding underneath all the other ones. Anyway. So the spirit saw Jesus. It immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at his mouth. Guys, what did the spirit do? What did the Bible say? What did it do? It took the boy into a convulsion, threw his body on the ground. Isn't that what it says? That's what the Holy Spirit in you is supposed to do. Not throw you on the ground, but it's supposed to tell your body what to do. Come on. Tell you what to think. It produced fear in that boy. Put him on the ground. That's a bad spirit. But see, the devil can't create anything. All he can do is take what God has done and twist it. All right. Jesus asked the boy's father. He didn't get alarmed. I can just, for some reason, I see Jesus, you know, just kind of going, how long has he been like this? Everybody else is freaking out. The video camera's down and their mouth is wide open. And Jesus is like, well, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It's often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Where's the belief? Where's the belief? In your head? It's in your heart. Everything is possible for him who believes. Now this guy isn't born again. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. So here he is operating like most Christians do. They believe, but they don't believe. They believe, but they don't believe. Now you can overcome the unbelief in your heart by filling it with the Word, provoking revelation up out of your spirit. Remember, revelation rises, thoughts descend. When they hit, now the revelation should transform the thoughts. In other words, you don't allow yourself to pick it up and play with it. Come on. And Jesus wasn't talking about his faith. Because he didn't even respond to him. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. He was talking about his faith. When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. You have to be specific with your faith. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him and violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet and stood up. Now after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive him out? Jesus replied, this kind come out only by prayer. Some translations say prayer and fasting. Literally, and in context, it should be a lifestyle of prayer. And remember, these disciples don't have the Spirit of God to draw from. They have a delegated authority. Now, it wasn't Jesus telling the boy's father, if you had faith, it could come out. What did he do? He took over and he cast the demon out with his faith. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. Where would he see his Father do it? In his spirit. Jesus thought out of his spirit. Jesus thought out of his spirit. Jesus acted out of his spirit. When I first was introduced to faith, it wasn't by a man, it wasn't by a preacher, it was by God, the Holy Ghost. I was in my bedroom and I was on Park Avenue in an apartment building, and I remember I was praying and I just was laying there enjoying the presence of God, and God said very specifically to me, he said, if you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree, come on, when it comes out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. I said, what did you say? He said, if you see it in your spirit and your mind will agree with it, when it comes out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. And I said, can you say that one more time? See, God's patient. And he said, if you see it in your spirit, if your mind will agree with it, when it comes out of your mouth, creative miracles will manifest. He taught me what I'm teaching you way before I went to Bible school, before I knew the scriptures. Your mind, because you live in this world and you've let your mind lead you and your body lead you for X amount of years, the majority of your life, your mind will fight you when God says, step out, do this, command that, speak to your bills. Your mind will say, well, that's just stupid. That's a... Come on. All you got to do is get your mind in neutral. Let it be governed by the revelation. As long as your mind isn't fighting it. Do you know, even in, let's just put it this way. Everybody loves the subject of submission and authority. But you have to understand there is a level of submission in the workplace, in our community, in the church, and in the marriage. And submission does not, it's not even possible unless you disagree. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And see, you don't have the opportunity to put yourself under somebody else, which is what submission means. We get the word it comes, submarine, to submerge, submit, to be under. You don't have the opportunity to be under unless your mind is saying, no, I want to do it a different way. And in the United States, we have a real problem understanding submission because we think the kingdom of God is a democracy, and it's not. So when we submit, we have the opportunity because we want to do something else. Like Jesus said, not my will, Father, but yours. He submitted even to death. That's the Bible says he was raised from the dead because of his reverent submission. He came under. Even his mind did not want to experience the cross. Unless the words that were recorded are wrong, and they're not. He said, Father, not my will, but yours. He had the opportunity. He wanted to do something different. When your boss says, do this, and you don't want to do it, that's when you have the opportunity to submit. When your boss says, do this, and you say, yeah, I want to do that, you're not submitting. It's okay. You're in agreement. You're at peace. There has to be order in the household, order in the community, order in the church, order in the home. Everybody say amen. Amen. And there has to be order in your body. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. Your mind is to submit to your spirit. Your body is to submit to your renewed mind. And if your mind isn't there yet, then at least get it in neutral. Don't fight it. Put it under. The body is simply going to follow if you put it under. Submission is a very godly principle. And if you cannot submit to the Spirit of God, you cannot submit to your husband. If you cannot, or a man, if you cannot submit to the Spirit of God, you will not submit to the government or a pastor or any other authority that's in your life. It'll be very difficult because you'll be grumbling and murmuring and... Come on. Am I talking to you guys? Are you out there? Yeah. So you let your mind submit itself to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And the two always agree. Amen? Now, how many things are possible for the man who believes? All things. Where does this belief come from? Well, it's instigated or provoked by the Word, but it comes from revelation inside of your human spirit if you're born again. So maybe it's time that we stop trying to think about how does the kingdom really work and just submit ourselves to the kingdom. Jesus was with his disciples, and he said that they were asking about when things were going to happen, and he said, the kingdom of God is with you. I'm giving you some clues. Is with you, and soon it's going to be in you. He just got done telling them about the Holy Ghost that was coming. The power and the authority and the way that God thinks is coming to you. And it's in you. Praise the Lord. This is school. We're learning, aren't we? When do we quit learning? When we're dead. We keep learning. We keep learning. We keep learning. We keep learning. We're going from glory to glory. The truth isn't out there. The truth is right here. The truth is right here. You have the mind of Christ. He reveals these things to you by His Spirit that lives in you. Guys, and if a prophet has to come up and has to prophesy to you, then you are spiritually deaf. If it's revelation when a prophet says it to you and you've never heard it before from God, then you're spiritually deaf. How many of you know the truth of the scriptures that we're talking about tonight? The line of this thing. It's right, isn't it? I'm not bringing something new to you. You already knew. You knew in your knower. It's not your head. Because your thoughts are temporal. They can change. They can change with what you eat. They can change with how your body feels. They can change with the weather. I noticed when it got cloudy, when it was cold, I wasn't so happy. Your thoughts can change according, but your spirit doesn't. It's eternal. So if you get everything lined up with the eternal, the compass on the inside, well, come on, now you're going to walk in the kingdom of God. You're going to walk in victory. You're going to go from glory to glory. You're not going to expect to make 4 mistakes out of every 10. You're going to expect to make every single decision is going to be a success. Amen? Amen. How many things are possible for him who believes? So listen, spiritual faith is limitless. Spiritual faith is limitless. Dare to think. How many of you have been tracking the lottery? $686 million. How many of you were tempted to get a lottery ticket? I'm serious. I was tempted. I had a temptation to get a lottery ticket. Did I get a lottery ticket? No. How many of you got a lottery ticket? Did you win? No. $686 million. What if God gave you $500 million? What would you do? And if you can't think of what you do with $1 million, you haven't allowed yourself to be limitless. If God gave you $500 million, what would you do for the kingdom of God? What would you do for the kingdom of God? If all of your bills were paid and you had provision for the rest of your life, more than you have ever imagined, what would you do for the kingdom of God? Now, if you'll pray about that, guys, you'll take the limits off. If you get comfortable with those thoughts and those ideas, you won't be governed by the world system that limits us, limits the Christian. The way the world thinks, the way the world acts is not the way you should do it in the kingdom of God. I don't know why, but when you talk money, people start, that's where their limitation is. So if you had $250 million, what would you do? Can't see yourself that much? What would you do if you had $100 million? $50 million? $1 million? $500,000? Man, I would eat through $500,000 in about 30 seconds. Just on what's around us. Come on. I'd eat through $50 million in a heartbeat. I know what I'd do with it. Because I'm getting comfortable with the thoughts of the Spirit. They're above anything that I can think, anything that I can imagine. If I could imagine it, and the Holy Ghost gives me the liberty and the freedom to sit on it, do you know what I mean? And God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above that. By the Spirit, I provoke the Spirit for revelation. Some of you might need, you might need to go out and look at houses. You might need to explore what it's like to be debt free. You might need to think, what would I do if I didn't have to work? How much money would I need a month just to exist? Now, how much money would I need a month to be a blessing? How much money would I need to give into every good work? What are you doing? You're provoking the Spirit for revelation. And you just don't think creatively in your head. You pray in the Holy Ghost. What would happen if you laid your hands on the sick? Have you ever seen yourself lay your hands on somebody with a tumor and see the tumor shrink? Have you seen it inside your spirit? I saw it inside my spirit before I saw it. I went there in the Holy Ghost before I went there in the natural. And that's where faith begins, when you see and you know inside of your spirit. And the Word backs it up. Revelation comes from that, and you can't control it. You can provoke it. You can feed it. If you want to spend time thinking about all your bills, instead of thinking about being debt-free, you're always going to have bills. Come on. If you keep thinking about being sick and being weak and being torn down and how it's not, you're just always going to be that way. But if you let your body be dominated by a spirit that is producing revelation of health and strength and joy and peace, now you're starting to provoke the Spirit of God and faith is coming. Amen? All right, guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word tonight. We thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for wisdom and revelation. And Father, I just pray that you'd help those that are here tonight and those that listen to the message break free from the limits that Satan has placed on them. And Father, I pray that tonight you'd give them a fresh, new breath of your Spirit so they would know you better, understand, Lord, the inheritance that belongs to them, and begin to grasp the inheritance and the power that is already in them. I thank you, Father, that we're born of your Spirit, we're born of faith, we're born of love, we're born of strength. So I ask that you'd reveal our birthright to each and every one of us. And I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Now, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, if you need a fresh breath of the Spirit tonight to produce revelation in your life, I'm not going to ask you to come forward because I just want to pray. And I've meditated on and I've prayed on John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. So if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and then I'm going to pray. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who have their hands raised right now, I declare a fresh breath from your Spirit. Strengthen their inner man. cause dreams and hopes that they've had by birth by your Spirit that seem to have died to come alive again. Resurrect them in Jesus' name. Let hope of a family, hope of a whole family, hope come alive inside of them because they see it inside of their spirit. Lord, that the things that you put inside of them, not the things they've created, the things that you put inside will come to pass in their life, in this season, in this decade, in the next few years. Cause adjustments to be made in their heart. And a fullness of life and power. Everything to line up from the spirit, the soul, and their tongue, and their body. Sickness and disease be gone. Pain be gone. Mental anguish, chastisement of the soul has brought them peace. We declare victory over their lives tonight. We declare them victorious tonight. More than conquerors. Grown up, mature sons and daughters of the Most High God. Being revealed to creation and every man and woman they come in contact with. We declare these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Be free. Be whole. Be healed. Be complete. The needs are met. Wonderful, wonderful season of joy for these. In Jesus' name. Everybody said.
We hope that you are blessed by the Word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.